So, the sad thing is we do need massive change in this country, and it's not something it's very urgent. It's not something we can wait for. It's not something that we can take chances with. And I think that it's just a huge blind spot that people just don't want to look there because it's just too scary. But our government is building concentration camps, and they're populating them with immigrants. And the next step is they're going to succeed at getting rid of those immigrants. How? Well, probably by deporting them. That's how it worked. This is the stories my grandparents told me. My grandparents lived in Europe, in parts of Europe that were taken over by the Nazis, and they had to run, and they came to the United States, and they all survived. But there were a lot of different avenues on which they left. Some were deported, some had to run for their lives. They were going to be killed, and if they didn't leave, they would have been killed, and leaving could have gotten them killed. And it was like, the shit show that my grandparents and parents lived through is something we don't talk about in this country. We talk about lots of other immigrant stories, but this is one probably because there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the country, honestly. And so we're not really comfortable talking about Jews in a positive light. I know this because I grew up with a very negative view of Jews, which came from the environment I lived in. I lived in Queens, in New York, very close to where Trump grew up, only 10 years after Trump. And I imagine it's the same feeling that black people have, that, as kids you grow up, you just think there's something wrong with you. And not just in a sort of like, oh, there's something wrong with me, but it's much deeper, much more core. So it's here in the United States, and it's getting a chance to blossom. And they're not going to give up easily. They're just getting stronger and stronger. The rule of law is gone. Rachel Maddow said it, if you don't believe me. It took a lot to get her to say it, but it's gone. And the government is being hollowed out of people who aren't loyal to Trump. They're going to all be signing loyalty oaths, and soon we are too. And then some people will not be allowed to sign loyalty oaths because our loyalty is not possible because of our ethnicity, our religion, whatever, our sexual preference, orientation, our who knows? It's certainly going to be the classic ones. It's going to be the racial ones. It's going to be blacks, Hispanics, Jews, definitely. I don't care what Trump says. He is fucking anti-Semite. He aligns with, as somebody who parties with anti-Semites, I don't know. It's like, I really, there's this wonderful line in, I can't remember the name of the movie. I never can remember it. The line is by Brad Pitt, and it's The Council, I think, is the name of the movie. And this guy is running for his life, and Pitt is one of the enforcers for the mob, but Pitt is sort of a consultant. He's not actually deep in it, so he can have a frank conversation with this guy that maybe he couldn't have if he was like, one of the. Anyway, so he says, "Yeah, these people." Have heard of, they believe in coincidences, they've just never seen one. If you think about it, it's like it's clever on so many levels. It's a beautiful line, and it just says, look, don't bullshit me. I'm gonna go with what it looks like, and they're certainly gonna go with what it looks like. And if the risk they have is that, oh, he didn't, it really was a coincidence, well, okay, now we've seen one. Well, so yeah, so if a guy hangs out with Nazis, well, at least I know he's comfortable with them. I suspect he's a Nazi. And I think that it's really clever to have a Jewish son-in-law. And it's a really clever little twist. Imagine if Hitler had a Jewish son-in-law. So Hitler would say, Domini, 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 you're all the Christians now. You're Aryan. And, you know, because he's Hitler 2.0, everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, that's cool. Yeah, you know, he's different. And so are all of his kids, right? So, yeah. So they've got, they're building the concentration camps. We know they're doing it. And we're not even talking about it. We're not complaining about it. So, all right. This is marching. So the chances of us having a legal, clean election in November, I don't know who we're kidding, but it's not very likely to happen. In fact, it's not going to happen. And so you have to start thinking creatively about where we are right now. And I would say we need to start running this campaign against Trump without any more division, without any distractions, without any bullshit. And it has to be done in such a way that everybody sees it succeeding. And then when Trump shuts it down, we have a chance, maybe. But that's it. That's the chance we have. You know, we've wasted we would have had to do something uncomfortable every step of the way, you know, starting with the Electoral College. Nobody wanted to do anything about that. You know, we could have gone and done candlelight vigils around the state capitals on the day that they were going to vote. You know, maybe it wouldn't have changed the votes, but it would have started us on a path towards organizing. So, yeah. So Sanders says, okay, I'm the guy who's going to galvanize all this bullshit and we're all going to have a revolution. And the result is going to be free this, free that, and free everything else. And, you know, it's great. Except the bigger problem is we're not waiting for Bernie Sanders to have a revolution. We're waiting for us to have the guts to fucking do something about what's going on. And so all this distraction about, you know, single payer and, Fidel Castro wasn't really that bad, or, you know, he's okay. Or, you know, Sanders once told a woman something very crude and really hurt her feelings and, you know, whatever, paid her off and made her sign an NDA. Okay, look. These are all things that have nothing to do with us being marched off into the gas chambers. Absolutely nothing to do with it. So whoever's deciding that this is what we need to talk about, or if it's just a Ouija board, doesn't make a difference. It's just plain fucking wrong. Okay, so then the question is, what kind of a candidate do we want to have here? And well, that for that, I think you need to step out into the future and decide what you want to happen in the world. You know, if you can't think past the election, then you're going to end up with the wrong answer. That's for sure. Nothing in life works, you know, nothing in life works unless you can visualize what it's going to be like on the other side of it. You know, this goes for small things and big, and especially for big things. Like, I don't know, who are you going to marry? How many people choose a good person to marry when they're in their 20s? I rest my case. I mean, you know, because you can't think of the consequences. And there are at least your excuses. I don't know. There's really no excuse, actually. Because you could always ask people, how, you know, what matters. You could listen, you could read books, you could, you know, just observe the world around you. And of course, but young people don't do that. And it's why it's beautiful to be a young person. I'm not saying young people should change. Still doesn't mean that being impulsive here and not thinking the few steps out it doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. It is not the right thing to do. So anyway, so what we need, this is my vision, all right? I don't know, it took me, 9 minutes to get to the point where, and I've written this up, this isn't the secret. What we need to do is form one very big party that includes everybody who believes in the rule of law. In other words, by coming into this group here, all you're saying is, I believe in the rule of law. Everything else, we'll deal with it later, okay? All we're saying now is we believe in the rule of law. So that means everybody on the fucking stage is acceptable. All right? That includes Bloomberg. When I see them saying, oh, Bloomberg, you're not acceptable. Well, you know what? I'm sure Elizabeth Warren knows all the shit he's done to help. And yet she's still willing to do this kind of destructive attack on him, he's a very powerful person, and he's done a lot to help, and his heart's in the right place. Doesn't matter whether you, like I said, we put everything else aside. Okay? And we win this election with the maximum number of voters going for the rule of law. And then we spend the next couple of years on our own Marshall Plan on how do we rebuild democracy in the United States as quickly as possible. Because we need it. It's very important for the way we are going to function because we've got a lot of big, huge fucking problems to deal with. After we get rid of the death camps and the fascism and the loyalty oaths and all the crap that is there now and we just don't want to look at it. And so what we need to do, well, we need to get some constitutional amendments passed. We need to codify the norms that Trump broke that were not illegal. We need to figure out how we're going to make the Constitution enforceable, even if one party controls the Senate. Maybe the Senate is no longer the way to judge these things. Maybe there has to be another organ of government. Maybe this shit that we have, the structure we have, just simply doesn't work. If it doesn't work, we have to change it. And that is what I'm talking about. This is far bigger a change than changing how healthcare works. And I know I depend on health insurance, and I was very iffy about having it prior to Obamacare. So I understand, I get it fully, because I love the fact that I'm no longer worried about that. I mean, I worry about other things, I worry about my health, but I don't worry about whether or not my health insurance in an emergency or in a life-threatening illness situation, I'm going to have the care I need, I think. I'm not sure about that. I think I will. I think that they took care of that with Obamacare, and I don't think the Republicans have succeeded yet in neutering it. But saying all that, I'm saying that is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that, you know, if I were a software developer and my software was the legal system of the United States, I would say we need to take the system down right now, and I need to figure out what the fuck we're going to do because this isn't working. That's the problem. So I want Republicans. I want independents. I want everybody who believes in the rule of law. We all vote for the Democratic candidate because the Republican Party is broken. It's lost. It's really destroyed. Okay? It's not coming back. Let's just say that. So the Republicans need a home. They need somebody to vote for. This is what they've been saying, and y'all don't want to listen to them. But they're Americans too, and you know, if I were a business owner and a whole group of people were saying, look, I would need a product to buy, I would really try to sell them one. And no, it doesn't violate my principles to sell them a product, to sell them a presidential candidate, to give them somebody they can be enthusiastic about too, because we need to get the maximum number of people who all believe in the rule of law to put our heads together and ignore, and we've got to sideline that group of people, the Nazis. We have to believe they're not a majority, okay? If they're our majority, then it's over and nothing we can do. But I don't believe they are. I believe they're 20%. I believe it's a terribly large number, but it's not a majority in any sense. If we can just solve this problem just this one time, just has to be one election that we do this in, then we form a government and we start, you know, we start working on these problems and we do it fucking quickly because we don't have a lot of time, all right? And then the two parties that came together as one will split. Maybe it'll split into five parties. Who the fuck knows? But we will form new political parties after that. But first we have to get it together. And this whole idea, I mean, there's a bigger picture. If Trump hadn't come along, it would still be the right thing to do. Because we've been bouncing back and forth between conservative and liberal, and the United States is still one country, and it can't go through these mood swings. We have to be more steady and more consistent. It will work a lot better if we do. So we kind of do have run this whole thing out as far as it can go. And we're really close to it just completely collapsing. And we can't afford the luxury of fighting with each other. And I certainly don't think we can afford the baggage of Bernie Sanders. You have to understand that there are a lot of people in this country who remember, to whom Fidel Castro is their Adolf Hitler. So if you're Jewish, try to imagine, you know, Bernie's Jewish, but it would be somebody like Bernie who gets up and says, well, you know, they taught a lot of people to read in Nazi Germany. You know, I believe in telling the truth. Yes, they did a lot of terrible things, but they did, you know, they did teach a lot of people to read. Yes, but not the people they killed, right? They didn't teach them to read, did they? I mean, you have to try to understand. And there's a million people who believe in the rule of law who are going to have a really fucking hard time voting for this asshole. I'm serious. They're right to have a hard time, and they're right to be, if they're pissed off, that nobody gave a shit. They're already pissed off. I mean, because, I don't know, maybe they don't identify with people in Puerto Rico, but I do. They're Americans. We completely fucking blew them off. We. Our country, you know, it's like, it's hard to say we because they're part of we. See, it's down to that. You doubt that we're racist. I rest my case. But even that, like, you know, it's waiting for us to have the courage to look, to see what's actually happening, and then to be smart about this and have leadership that isn't like all slogans. I mean, Bernie Sanders is just slogans. I mean, he won't show us anything other than slogans. If he has other than slogans, like, I'd love to hear more about it. But when he gets interviewed, you know, slogans. I've been listening to Bernie Sanders for so long. I mean, I know his answers. And I don't find them convincing. You know? I don't know why people like him. I just don't get it. Anyway, so that's my thing. My thing is, we really have no time to waste on getting together. We really have to stop thinking about ourselves as individuals, and we start having to think about ourselves as not even as identities, not even black or white or Jewish or Hispanic or gay or whatever. I'm sorry, I know I'm leaving. I'm not a politician. I'm running for office, so, you know, whatever. We really do have to stop accentuating those differences and starting. You know, one of the questions I wish they had asked each of the panelists in the debate, on any one of the debates, two questions. One is, what is a Democrat? Because I really want to know what they think. And I think Bernie Sanders should have to answer that question. I think Bloomberg should too. I think they all should. What's a Democrat? Okay. And then what is America? And you know what? Spare me the, you know, oh, don't spare me. Tell me what you think America is. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be wanting to hear something intelligent and not just not what it is not, but what is it, you know? But more important right now is, what's a Democrat? That was the thing that upset me the most about the last two debates, is that here are all these assholes up there trying to tell Bloomberg he can't run for, because he's not really a Democrat. Yeah. Well, depends what you mean by Democrat. Okay. Well, at least I said my piece. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.